Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the In the Truck podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dennis Brown. Happy Monday. Here in upstate New York, it's raining, but it's like 50 degrees, so that's kind of our version of a nice day. When I was a kid, my father used to, when anyone would talk about summer, are you looking forward to summer, or anything about summer, he used to say, yeah, I heard this year it's going to be on a Tuesday. But we do have actually have really nice summers, but it's like a dad joke, you know? So I got thinking this weekend, I'm not touching current events today. So if you came for current events, nope. But I got thinking this weekend about the importance of masculinity and the patriarchy. I was actually trying to get some guests on to discuss that, and we may still get some of them, but it's just what was on my mind. And I was thinking how important it is to take your place in the world as a man. As a man, is enormously important to take your place in the world. So then I started thinking about how I did that, or what that looks like, and how different that is maybe than what you see in movies or TV or whatever the case may be. So if you have any young men in your life, this is a good one for them. I was blessed at a really young age with personality that did not shy away from conflict. I don't know where that, I can't claim to know where that came from, but I know for a lot of people it's difficult. Conflict is difficult. They don't like to argue. They don't like to have any kind of tension or stress. It doesn't bother me. I don't know if that's, I was born with that, or if that was just my upbringing, whatever the case may be. And it's not the greatest personality for your kid to have if you're a parent. But I think it was instrumental in helping me take my place in the world. You can develop that, though, I think. And not so much a... because it wasn't a desire for conflict. It was just a lack of fear of conflict. So I would say things, even at a young age, I would say things that were on my mind, or that I thought that were... that I knew in advance were going to cause a conflict. Because I wasn't afraid of it. And I wasn't particularly afraid of physical conflict either. And I have to say, that's one of those things, like I've talked before about, you know, the steps of becoming a man and how important it is to get punched in the nose. Getting punched in the nose is important in two ways. One is it shows you that another person can rearrange your universe very rapidly, because it's alarmingly painful. And the other is that it's okay. Right, so in the moment, obviously, it's extraordinarily painful, and you know, maybe you see stars, and it's not a good thing. But in the moments following it, you're fine. You're fine. Nothing terrible happened to you. So it's one of those things that you learn, like, okay, well, even obviously, we're not talking about guns and knives and killing each other, but you know, a fist fight is not gonna, it's not gonna end your world, right? So you don't have to be afraid of it. So for me, I kind of went out in the world with that mentality, and I had nurtured in myself this kind of like do-it-yourself ethic. So when I was a kid, and I guess no one discouraged me from that, which was maybe part of it. So maybe if your kids are trying to do something that's totally on their own, don't discourage it. So like, we live near a golf course, this little 9-hole crap golf course, and on the backside between the third and fourth hole, the fence was like rusted away and fallen over, because it's not like a night, you know, I say golf course, I think a lot of people are thinking like, ooh, fancy country club. No, this was not a fancy country club. This was a golf course that was built in like 1962 by the developer who built the neighborhood I lived in, a suburban neighborhood I lived in, as a selling feature for people then, and then that's the last time they did anything with it other than cut the grass. So was not in good shape, and this fence had sort of rusted apart and fallen over. And so I don't know when we figured it out, but I was young, I don't know, 8, 7. We started going in there at night with a flashlight, and there was a pond at the third hole. Was like a water hole, and there was this big pond, and so we would just go in the pond with the flashlight and get golf balls out of it, tons. In case you're wondering, people aren't that good at golf. So you go on both sides, and you know, you could get 30, 40, And we didn't do it every day, but let's say once a week, you get 30 or 40 of them. And then we would go the next morning, so this is in the summers, you know, it was me and my brother. The next morning, we would go out in front of the golf course and sell them. Four for a dollar. No, it's 25 cents each, five for a dollar. Right, so you'd make like $5 or $6. When you're 8 years old in the 1980s, $8 is like, you might as well be a millionaire. And I kind of just went from there. I had an aunt with a BJ's Club membership, and I used to buy these big boxes of Blow Pops and sell those for a quarter. I remember one time I got busted. I was selling sodas at the town pool. And they got mad because they had a soda machine, and nobody was using their soda machine anymore. I would show up in the morning with a cooler full of sodas, and I was selling them. And I was told in no uncertain terms that that was not allowed. But again, it was the kind of thing, like, it didn't dawn on me that I wasn't going to be allowed to do it. And then when I wasn't allowed to do it, it wasn't like anything terrible happened. They didn't get arrested or beaten up. They just told me don't do it. So I stopped doing it. I think that time I told my mother I was mad about it because I was making good money. And I told my mother I was going to set up outside the pool. And she told me I wasn't allowed to do that. I wasn't allowed to do that. I had to give up my soda empire early. And then we just got jobs young, man. I got paper routes. My brother and I both had a paper routes. I would sub for other people who had bigger paper. Because we had a little afternoon paper. That was a thing back then. We had this little paper route, like 20 papers. But then I had friends that had big paper routes with like the big Sunday papers and stuff. And they would go out of town and I would take over for the week. Make that money. But that's part of developing your character too, and developing yourself into a force to be reckoned with, is being able to make a living. And understanding what that takes, and it's difficult, and it means getting up early, and it means not doing what you want to do, and it means sweating, and it means being sore and tired at the end of the day, and all those things. I think those are essential parts of it. So, you know, I went through life, went to college, had a bunch of different little side businesses in college. One of the more interesting side businesses I had in college, this wasn't supposed to be a history of the entrepreneurial hustle podcast, but it just got me thinking about it, because that's definitely an ingredient into taking your place in the world. One of the more interesting ones I figured out when I was in college was, I was at a party my freshman year, and they were drinking beer, obviously, and it was everywhere. These bottles and cans of beer were all over the place, and I had stayed till near the end because a friend of mine was helping clean up or something, I don't know, or just, I don't remember why I stayed so long, but there was almost nobody left, and this house was trashed. There were beer bottles and cans everywhere. They had garbage cans overflowing. They were on every counter, table, floor. They were all over the place. And I said to one of the guys, man, this must suck to clean up. And the guy's like, yeah, we hate it. It takes us all day. And a little light bulb went off in my little head. And I said, what if I come do it? He said, what do you mean? I said, I'll get up early tomorrow morning and I'll come here. You leave the door unlocked and I'll come and I'll clean this all up. And he's like, nah, we can't afford it. And I said, I'll do it for free. Now, why the heck would I do it for free? Well, in New York, you can turn in an empty beer bottle or beer can for a nickel. They have a deposit. So that was the deal. I'll clean it up, but I keep all the deposits. That was worth like $40. $50, and I could do it Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. So again, it's back to the 8-year-old with $8. Now I'm 18, I'm making like $100 a weekend, and I'm done with work by 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning. That was a good one. But like everything else, man, it's not any fun. Got to get up early when you don't want to get up early. You got to deal with disgusting ashtray filled beer cans. You gotta bag them all up, you gotta get them to the place, you gotta lay them all out and count them, you gotta do all this stuff. It's not fun. That was not a fun job, but I made a lot of money and I was done. Go back to bed. I'd finish up and go back to bed. So that was that. But so I actually left college early because I was basically making money that I thought, well, if I could devote myself to this full time, I don't need college. This is ridiculous. I don't need this. So I left college, which in hindsight was probably a mistake, but at the time it seemed like a great idea. And so what do you do? Like a very unpopular decision in my family. Nobody was happy with me. So I kept thinking about what I was going to do. So I decided to go away. So I had a friend in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, at Georgia Tech. And I had been talking to him. And I said, I was thinking about coming down. He said, yeah, come down. So I went and bought a Greyhound. This is true. I've told this story before. People don't think I'm honest. I packed my stuff in a duffel bag, big old Army duffel bag. And I bought a Greyhound, one-way Greyhound ticket to Atlanta. That was it. I think that's a key part of taking your place in the world, to actually go take your place in the world. And now it's weird because I'm also an advocate for families not moving apart from each other, that families staying together in the same general vicinity is important for everybody involved. But there's something to like that Amish go away for a little bit, see what the world is like thing. Go prove to yourself you could make it on your own without your family. So I went, I got a place, got a job in a bakery. You know, talk about a crap job. I forget what I made. I used to be to work at 4:30 in the morning or 4 in the morning. I would get up. These guys, I lived, rented a room in a house, and these guys would still be up from the night before when I left to go to work. And then I had to be to work right around the time the buses, there's a public bus system in Atlanta, but I had to be to work right at the time it started running. So I had to walk about 2 miles until I got close enough that the time would run around that I could get the bus the rest of the way. So the bakery was like 6 miles from my house. I walked the first 2 miles every day, 3:30 in the morning. And we'd go in there and we would bake. And the first couple hours I'd work back in the ovens and baking. And then the rest of the morning I would work up at the counter dealing with customers. But what that proved to me was that I could make it on my own, right? So there's this idea, I think, among American teenagers that you go to college to find yourself or whatever. I don't think you find yourself there because the problem is you're around a ton of other people that are doing the exact same thing as you. So all your weird behavior seems normal because they're doing it. And then on top of that, either your parents are paying for it, which takes all the stress out of the situation, or you've borrowed money to do it, in which case, if 18-year-olds borrow money, don't understand what that feels like, not to pay that back yet. So they live like they're living on free money. So that doesn't... You're not taking your place in the world. You're not finding yourself in that. There's not enough struggle involved. So, yeah, if you're in Atlanta during the hottest April in the history of Atlanta, and you're in a house with no air conditioning with a bunch of people you don't know, and it's weird and dirty and hot, and you got to get up and go to work at the bakery every day, and you don't have any extra money, then you kind of really kind of find yourself and figure out what you want to do. So then my grandmother got sick, and my mother called me. We weren't talking much at the time, but she called me and said that I needed to come home. My parents were still working at the time, and she wanted me to come home and stay with my grandmother because she wasn't doing well. So I agreed to that. I packed up all my stuff. I actually mailed my stuff to my grandmother's house that time. And bought a plane ticket, one-way plane ticket, and flew home. By the time I got there, it was like a week later. By the time I got home, my grandmother was fine. But, you know, I let my job go, and I let the room go, and I had mailed all my stuff, so I just stayed. So I stayed with my grandmother and helped take care of her a little bit, and she helped take care of me a little bit. And that's another step, I think, on the way to taking your place in the world, is taking care of another person. Being responsible for somebody else, right? So it's children growing up, teenagers, you're not responsible for anybody but yourself. And that's important. I think you got to learn to be responsible for yourself. So the trip to Atlanta, the time down there, be responsible for yourself. Get yourself up and go to work, pay your own bills, be careful with your own money, make sure you eat, right? Nobody's there to tell you what to do whatsoever. Nobody else is even doing the same thing you're doing on a different schedule, all this stuff, right? So you're totally on your own. You figure it out. Okay, got that. Now, got to take care of somebody else. That's important. Be accountable to them. So, like I said, she wasn't like terminally ill when I lived there, but she needed help with certain things, and she needed me to be accountable to a schedule and a time frame, and I would be where I'd say I was going to be, and all that. So we got that worked out. Long story short, I moved to North Carolina, and work two jobs. That's where, if you go back a couple of podcasts ago and listen to the love story, that's how I ended up working at the bar where I met my wife. So I think the school of thought today among young people is that you have a bunch of relationships that are designed to fail. All right, so you date, and then people have boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. They move in together, they live together, as if they were married people, but they're not. And they know it's not going to last forever. They don't intend for it to last forever. That's evident in how they approach it, right? If you intend for it to last forever, you would do it the traditional fashion way and court the person, marry them. But if you're intending for it not to last forever is when you say, like, hey, you want to move in? So, and then they break up, and then they do it again, and they do it again. And then they get to be in their 30s, and they panic because they realize they have no time left, especially women who have a biological clock that men don't have. And they panic, and then they just marry somebody because they're running out of time. They don't have time. So, like, if you're the guy that dates the girl when she's 34 and she's not married, never been married, never had kids, she's going to... You're the husband, just so you know. But I don't know that that's the best way to go about that. So what I did, like I said, you can go back to the podcast, listen to it. But what I did was I met a girl, decided I wanted to marry her, and I married her. And the whole thing, the whole process took less than a quarter of a year, less than 3 months. And... so that put me in a weird situation where now I was a husband, which at 20, what was, I think I was 20, just turned 22. At 22, it's kind of a weird world to be in. It's kind of a strange place. But it's the same kind of idea, like just jumping into responsibility, right? So now you're responsible for another person. And then she got pregnant almost immediately. So now I'm going to be a dad. So a husband and a dad. And I think that it's important to take that step. To take your place in the world, it's important to take that step. To be a husband and a father. And to take it seriously. And not to quit when it gets hard. And not to leave when it gets hard. And not to go find a mistress when it gets hard. And not to be a shithead. And that can be difficult. And I think a lot of young people are ill-equipped for that. But the societal message also isn't stick around, right? It's not what we tell each other. It's not what we see in movies. It's not the message of the last 50 years, isn't to stick it out no matter what. So if you're not causing each other physical harm, man, stick it out. And I think that's important. So I entered, my parents were still married. I entered into marriage with that mindset that it was permanent. And that's not to say that there weren't moments that first year or so that I thought I made a mistake. Now, it turns out I didn't make a mistake. My wife is amazing. But there are some bad moments. Bad weeks. Which, when things are going bad, a week is a long time. But that's just the way it is. But you got to approach it with that permanent mindset, especially when you got kids, which you should do also to take your place in the world. You should have children. And the reason you should have children is because that is what the rest of it was about. So the idea of making sure you can take care of yourself and then making sure you can take care of other people and making sure you can provide for yourself and that you can provide for other people is all in preparation for you to be a father. And now you have the ultimate responsibility to provide and protect. And I know that we live in a modern world and there's couples out there who do things differently or whatever, and that's fine. I'm not saying they shouldn't go for it. But in general, it's not the case. And in general, it's still the case that men are the breadwinners in the family. And there's a lot of families out there that are two-income families, and that's whatever. If that's what you want to do, that's fine too. But I think as a man, it's a challenge is to not make that a necessity. You might have to work harder than you want to. You might have to not know what goes on in Game of Thrones or Xbox or your Dart League or miss out on some fantasy football or whatever the distractions that we give ourselves. You might have to spend that time working or thinking about a new way to make money so that your wife can stay home and raise your children. Now, maybe your wife doesn't want to do that. Maybe she has no interest in that, and that's fine too. But I think that still, if you as a husband Your wife can't honestly even ponder the idea of leaving work and staying home unless you as a husband are able to provide a life for her that she is currently contributing to, right? So if you can replace the income that she's making or show ways you can save money, whatever. However you do it. Like, okay, well, we don't need to work because here's the deal, right? This is what I'm going to do. You step up. You take your place in the world. So that's the domestic side of it, right? So you learn to take care of yourself. You learn to take care of others. You learn to commit for a lifetime. You have children. You learn to be a father. Where now you're applying all that. Providing, protecting, taking care. And now you can take your place in the world. You've got all those ducks in a row. Now you're a person with significant experience. Now you're a person who's worked hard. You've probably moved ahead in whatever field you're in. You're taking life seriously. You take your relationship seriously. You take honesty seriously. You take commitment seriously. Now you're a person who can sort of take your place in the world, the rest of men. And I'm not one of these guys, like I'm totally not into the success people, the success gurus, the make $1 million, drive a Ferrari people. I think that's all crap. If you meet a guy at a party who cuts down trees for a living, owns his own little company, cuts down trees for a living, and he's a little rough around the edges, and you're talking to him, and you find he's been married 30 years to the same woman, and his kids are all not in prison, and he's got grandkids, and he's got calluses on his hands, and whatever, like, you're not going to not respect that guy. That guy is completely 100% taking his place in the world. If you look down on him because he works for a living or because he doesn't have $1 million, that's your problem. If a guy like that has an opinion about absolutely anything at all that he's put any thought into whatsoever, you should listen to him. Because he's got it all figured out. You don't have to make $1 million. If you don't want $1 million, don't make $1 million. It's not everybody's goal. We don't all want to be Wall Street bankers with mansions on the Hamptons. It's not where we're not all on the same path in life. So don't worry about that. Don't watch music videos or celebrity blah, blah, blah. Don't get into that nonsense. None of that stuff matters. Now, if you want $1 million, go get it. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you own your own company that cuts down trees and you own your own truck and you have employees and you work hard and you market yourself well and you're honest and you do what you're told and you follow through and you say you're going to be somewhere, by the time you're 50 years old, you're probably going to be a millionaire anyway. You could do it by accident. Nobody talks about that either, right? You don't have to be a Wall Street banker in a suit to succeed in life. You just have to make more money than you spend every year. And in most businesses, like my father always told me, if you show up to work sober and on time, you'll be ahead of 90% of the people. That's the truth. And in most businesses, that's true. And then in in fields where you're providing a service for somebody, a skilled labor service for somebody, just being honest is going to put you in the top 10%, if not the top 1%. So the field you choose isn't relevant. You can be an honest, upstanding, trustworthy person in any field. And you're going to see people who are not honest and not upfront and not trustworthy get ahead in the short term, and it's going to frustrate the crap out of you. It's fine. Let them do it. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about other people, man. You worry about you. You got a wife and kids at home to take care of. You can't be worried about some guy at work who stole someone else's report, turned it in his own, or using weird psychological games to deflect attention from himself because he's not doing his job right. You can't worry about those people. You just got to do your job and be good at it. And then come home and do your job there and be good at that. And that's why I get so mad. That's the whole, by the way, that's the whole thing. That's how you take your place in the world. You become a person who's known far and wide to be trustworthy, to be someone who can be counted upon, and you do that in all aspects of your life. And now, then you're a person to be contended with. People can't push you around. But I get mad when men talk about wanting to be happy for doing something. So I always want to be happy. That's not part of the deal. Like, there's happiness in life. Like, your kid takes his first steps, or you watch a kid do a chorus concert, or go to a picnic on the weekend and play softball, get a hit. Like, there's happiness along the way. You and your wife share a joke together, laugh till you cry. There's happiness all along the way. But the goal is not to be happy. The goal as a man is not to be happy. And this is one of the things I think that's ruined the patriarchy or men for some other people who look at it from the outside and want to attack it, is because there are men who have not been faithful to the essence of the patriarchy. And the essence of the patriarchy is responsibility. Responsibility to provide and protect and nurture and all those things. Not, how can I take advantage of the situation? You know, it goes back to the Bible. It talks about husbands being the head of the household, and wives should obey their husbands. And there are people who look at that and they get very upset. Feminists. Let's be honest. It's the feminists and the socialists. And they get very upset that the Bible says that women should be obedient to their husbands. But the simple truth is that if your husband is doing all the things that he's supposed to do, you should be obedient to him. If he's the spiritual head of your household, if he's pushing the family in the right direction towards God, if he's raising godly children, if he's taking care of all his responsibilities, if he wants for your family what is the best for your family at all times, why would you not obey him? It's to get these weirdos who are trying to just be bossy and be in charge and tell women what to do, and you better listen to me now. Okay, you don't want to obey that guy. But he's not doing the right thing being the right husband. So the idea in the Bible is that you as the man, you set yourself in the right position. You set your aim the right way. And then you work towards it. And then you're an upstanding person who's taking your place in the world. And then your wife's going to obey you. Not because you're telling her what to do or telling her when to clean the toilet or when to make you lunch. Not any of that stuff, man. Because you've set out a direction for your family that she wants to follow. That's what that's about. But it's so super important. But what's happened, I think, is that there's a lot of men who've decided they want to be happy, and they pursue selfish things at the expense of their family. They play golf on the weekends. So we can't go to church anymore because I got to play golf with my friends. Or they stay out late at night away from their family. Or I guess more and more now, there's men who are fathers and husbands who play video games all night. You and I both know if you stay up all night doing anything, it doesn't matter what it is, you're not your best yourself the next day. So if you spend Friday night up all night doing whatever it is, playing cards, drinking, gambling, playing video games, whatever, on Saturday with your children, you're not going to be the best you can be. And that stinks. So that's my point in all this. In order to get yourself to where you have taken your place in the world and that you're someone to be contended with, it takes effort and hard work and a certain mindset where that's where you want to go. Or I guess you can stumble into it, but I think that being intentional about it is probably the best way. And it means giving up fun. Because fun is stupid. Fun isn't getting you anywhere. More responsibility, less fun. More work, less fun. And then at some point, you know, work is fun. Raising your kids is fun. In a very, very different way. But it's important to know how you get there. And you get there by taking on responsibility. And essentially, as a man, that's what being a man is. So I was thinking about this weekend, like, I think when most men close their eyes and envision themselves, they see themselves as Tim Kennedy. If you don't know Tim Kennedy, he's a Special Forces soldier, fought, I think, in Iraq and Afghanistan, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's just Iraq. Multiple tours. He's a UFC cage fighter, extremely successful. He probably would have fought for a title if not for a very controversial fight with Yoel Romero that made him really mad. All-around good guy. He does a couple TV shows, and I think he's voluntarily gone back to the military. But he's a big, strong, fit guy. He can handle himself. You know, he's been in tough situations and and gritted it out and whatever the case may be. So I think most men are like, oh, that's me, right? Like, that's the one to be. Guys think of themselves as big, strong, tough guys who can handle themselves in any situation. They're smart and funny and people love them, and right? That's the thing. That doesn't happen overnight. Like, there's enormous effort that has to go into being a guy like that. And obviously in Tim Kennedy's case, a lot of it's physical, right? So there's something to that too. You can't really be a weakling. You gotta be somewhat physically imposing. Find some way. And if you're one of these guys who was born weighing 120 pounds and being 5'2", probably jiu-jitsu is probably what you need. But but regardless, you got to set yourself out in this world to be a person to be contented with. And it should be the thing that we're teaching young men. It should be the thing that we're telling our sons. Responsibility. Ingenuity. Entrepreneurial spirit. Fearlessness. Not fearlessness so much as do it anyway. Be afraid and do it anyway. Be afraid to talk to somebody. Do it anyway. And eventually you won't be afraid. That's super important. And the patriarchy is super important. But as men, we are stewards of the patriarchy. We're not the benefactors of the patriarchy. The patriarchy was designed to create a civil society. And essentially it was for the benefit of women and children. Not for the benefit of men. That was unnecessary, right? So you create a society and a system to protect the vulnerable. And we are stewards of the system. We have a responsibility to it. Our responsibility to it is to maintain it in an honest way, in a selfless way, to be the best men we can be, to provide and protect, and to create a situation where the vulnerable can thrive and aren't in any danger. That's our job. But if we get sidetracked with Xbox and fantasy football, you know, not that you can't have a hobby, not that you can't take some time for yourself, that's fine. But when it starts to take over your life and eat away at your responsibilities, you know, you're working some dead-end job with a bunch of guys who don't have kids, and you've got kids, and you spend your time moping around and playing Xbox, and your wife's mad at you, and whatever. You got to fix it. You can't just keep doing that. That's just a recipe for disaster. You need to take your place in the world. You need to take on more responsibility. And that can be a scary thing. I think a lot of guys don't want to take on responsibility because it can be a scary thing, because now you're more accountable. Do it anyway. And you might fail the first time. You might fail the first two times. You might fail the first three times. It's still the right thing to do. You got to go out and be a steward of the patriarchy. And be a forthright individual. Become someone to be contented with. So listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day today. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.